Liberated Lifestyle is a podcast focused on relationships, spirituality, personal development, and so much more. Tune in every single week so that you can change your life. Okay, so dude, please give me a background. If you could say your name one more time and give me a background on who you are and what you come from.
Damn, that's... All right, so my government name is Andrew Cuthbert, and that in and of itself has its own story behind it. As far as like me growing up with not really knowing who I was, because my parents come from Nicaragua, right? And they come from the Caribbean coast. So we all have English last names, right? Like Campbell, Downs, Hudson. And like growing up, I didn't understand that it was a different culture from the Spanish people. And even them, they call us Los Negros de la Costa, which means them niggas on the coast. So growing up, like I had an identity crisis all through my life. Until I realized
right off the jump. Okay.
Then when I was 17, I joined the Marine Corps, turned 18 in boot camp. When I was 19, I went to Iraq. I got back, and then I spent the last 3 years in the Marine Corps guarding embassies. So I spent a year in West Africa and Guinea. Then I went to Beijing, China during the Olympics. Then I went to back to West Africa. And then I got back home in 2019, and it's been 10 years of, like, really, really good times. Yeah, my voice is on here. Really, really good times and, like, really, really, like, oh, shit. But one key thing, well, I mean, there's been a bunch of stuff that I did, but I got into plant medicines around, like, 2012.
Okay, hold on. We ain't going that far yet. Okay, Let's break this down. Okay.
So it's been my journey of like transitioning back into, after service, transitioning back. And then, you know, with the topic of the day, like with the shadow, like there's a lot of shadow confrontation in that. Because you really have to rediscover who the fuck you are, because the military institution breaks you down as an individual and brings you up as a part of a squad. Right. And now it's not about you. It's about the Marine to the left and the right of you. But they never train you on how to come back into society. So they train you to be tribal, but then you come back into society with no tribe. Right. So now we're lost. So it's been like a journey of me trying to figure it out and how, you know, I'm a Brazilian jiu-jitsu brown belt. Right. And I found my tribe in jiu-jitsu. You know, I found my tribe within the veteran community. And I found my tribe and like my family members that are just tight and my chosen family members. Like, so, yeah.
Let me ask you this. So just to circle back, how long were you in the Marines?
5 years.
5 years. Okay. So how do you feel like that impacted your mind? Like what type of brainwashing did they do? And was there any trauma involved emotionally?
Well, like I was talking about, right, the breaking down of the individual self, right? One thing that was major for me is that, like, I was really independent prior to service, right? Like, my dad, him and my mom split up when I was, like, 14. And it was like, okay, we don't have money, so I need to go make money. So I started sweeping floors in a barbershop. And then I started selling CDs. Well, actually... Me and my boys started selling candy. We stole candy to sell candy, to buy a CD burner, to sell CDs. And then I was making, like, when I was 15, I was making, like, between $25, $75 a day just selling CDs. Yeah, because I saw everybody selling CDs for $5 a CD. And I'm like, how much do these CDs cost? And they were, like, $100 for $20. And I'm like, no, I'm going to undercut this whole market. So then I was like, you know what? We're going to sell 1 for $3 and 2 for $5. And if you wanted a mix, because, you know, there weren't no iPods back then. We're talking about like early 2000s. I was like, you know what? I'm going to sell 1 for $3, 2 for $5. If you want a mix, it's $5. You get it the next day. And it's like, I was like a little entrepreneur, just young. And then I started working at a shoe store and I started like selling shoes on the side. Like, you know, I was a hustler, right? Because it was like, it was all about me. Like, I just like knew I had to take care of myself. But then when I joined the service, the first thing in boot camp is they said that you can't say I, me, or my.
Right? Oh, okay.
Right? So you have to talk in the third person. So it's like this recruit, that recruit, these recruits, right?
Okay.
And you have to, you know, this is how you have to speak the entire time. So, and you're in this environment 24/7 for 3 months, right? So they tell you they were going to strip you down as an individual and bring you up as a part of, like, you're going to be a Marine. Or if you're in another service, they're going to strip you down as an individual and make you that soldier or airman or wherever you are, right? So that in and of itself, right, the tearing down of your individuality, that kind of creates a trauma, because now you take that energy that you were focusing on yourself and you start directing it at others, right? And it's not bad, right? Because that's one thing that I've had to learn, right? It's not good or bad. It's all yin and yang, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you come up a part of the squad, and this is your energy, right? You're focused on the Marine to the left and the right. That's what you say. Like, you're just focused on them, right? And then Iraq was particularly interesting. And all my overseas, like being in Africa and stuff like that, it was all interesting because, like, there's things that you relate to that, like, not all the other Marines relate to, right? So, for example, in Iraq, you're around other brown people, poor people. So if you're a brown, poor person and you're around all these brown, poor people, a lot of people that I know, like, they kind of, like, wonder, like, well, I'm fighting, like, my people.
Right.
But if you're, like, from Texas, you know what I mean? Like, you grew up in, like, you know, middle class, like, white family, American flag draped over the dinner table, you don't necessarily understand that, right? And it's nothing right. against – I'm not being, like – I'm highlighting just, like, a difference, right? I'm not trying to be racist or anything. But so there's that type of difference. Or being in Africa, right? It's, like, seeing these extreme poor people, right? And you're just, like – like, damn, like, how do they live like this? And it's just like, well, we're both black, right? You know, and it's a mind fuck. So, I mean, it's just like anything else, right? Like, you experience something new, like, it kind of, your mind starts turning. Yeah, I was in Conakry.
Okay. Know if I said that. So let me bring this up. So, okay, so for me, the reason why I got into plant medicine was really because I had been doing a lot of different other types of modalities to heal myself emotionally. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of emotional trauma from my childhood. Coming down from, like, bullying, low self-esteem, low self-worth, not feeling good enough, like a lot of these different, like racism, a lot of these different things had stuck inside of me, right? So I was trying these different methods and they worked, but to an extent, right? It's almost like I felt like there was this cap that I was, you know, dealing with when I was doing these other modalities. And don't get me wrong, they definitely helped a lot, but I felt like, you know, subconsciously, I was seeking for something more powerful, something that would really help heal. You know, it's funny, dude. I actually subconsciously was looking for something that I could purge from. Like, I was like, I feel like I have, like, something, like, I feel like I have energy inside of me that I need to, like, physically release. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the only time I had ever, yeah, no, I get it.
Right. Dude, the only time I ever threw up was when I used to get faded and drink back in the day, like a lot, like get drunk and plastered. And so when I came across plant medicine, dude, it changed my life. So let's talk about you. What is the first plant medicine that you did and why did you do it? What even brought you down to that path?
So after the military, I struggled with the transition back into society. And what I did is I focused all my energy in women, right? So I wanted to be with a woman and just, like, just pour everything I could into her, right? So I got my heart broken 3 times in a row, right? Back to back to back. And after the third one, oh, Gran Bandi, that was my boy. He was in Africa with me.
How long were you in these relationships?
The first one was like 3 months, and then it was like a year, and then 2 years.
Okay, so they're like pretty. You learned a lot. Do you feel like they were soul lessons, like trying to teach you?
Of course. I would never talk bad about any of those women, because, like, if anything, I'll thank them, because nothing has been a bigger teacher than heartbreak. Like, you know what I mean? Like, heartbreak, that was, you know what I mean? So after the third time it happened, it was like 2012, and I'm like, this is not happening again. So I made a decision that I wasn't going to sit there, like, with a broken heart and be all depressed for like another 6 months. I'm like, I'm going to be over this in a month. Like, I declared it. So then one of my homegirls, she sees me, and she was like, yo, I was in college at the time. And she was like, hey Drew, she's like, how you doing? Like, how's that pretty girl of yours? And I was like, she broke up with me last night. Right. It was right. And she was like, you know, dude, you got to read The Mastery of Love.
Right? That book is bomb.
Right. So I read that book, and, you know, the story about the man who didn't believe in love, like, really got me. Right. Because it's like, you know, that miracle happened where the star came in his hand, and he's like, I'm going to give this to this girl. And then she drops it, and he's like, oh, my God, you know. So it was like, that story really touched me, because it was like, you can't give anybody responsibility for your love and happiness, right? It's like giving a child something very rare or something very fragile. If you give that to my one-year-old, he's going to throw it across the room and laugh at it, you know? So I read that book, and then after I read that book, like, I just, like, went on, like, a spirit quest. Like, I ran across the YouTube channel Spirit Science.
Yes.
Right?
For sure.
So I sat there and just binge watched Spirit Science from episode 1 to 20. And, you know, they're talking about all kinds of craziness in there. And, you know, when they spoke about psychedelics and, like, the healing of the plant medicines, I was like, all right. So now I open myself up to that. Like, I'm like, what is that really? So one of my boys on Instagram, he said something about mushrooms, and then I hit him up. I was like, yo, like, I want to do that, right? I want to do that. So he comes to my house one night, right? And so he brings the mushrooms, him and this other Marine that came over, and you know, they had, like, these chocolates. So in my backyard at the time, it had a lake in the back, and there was 3 trees that I planted from seeds, right? I opened up avocado one day. There was a root growing out of it, sprouting out of it, right? And I put it in a pot. It grew a little bit. I planted the tree. Same thing with the coconut. Same thing with the mango. So I had these 3 trees in, like, a triangle, and they were growing. So we're back there, right? It's a full moon, and it's just like, I laid down a mat, and we're just chilling. And all of a sudden, like, you know, the grass starts, like, you know, doing this, and then, like, it looks like there's more stars. Faint, like, you know. So I'm like, oh, so my boy goes, yo, go talk to those trees. Go talk to your trees. So I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go talk to my trees. So I'm expecting that they're gonna talk to me.
Right. But then
I look, and it's like, this one is vibrating, right? It's like, I look at, like, it looked like this one was vibrating, and that one was vibrating a little different, and this one was vibrating a little different. And I was like, they don't talk. They vibrate. And I was like, everything's connected. Everything vibrates. And throughout that, like, whole night, I was saying this over and over and over and over. Mind you, I've never heard of the law of vibration ever. But it's, in essence, like, I learned it just in this experience from the damn trees, right? So I have a lion that is, like, it's a 200-pound wooden lion that I got in Africa. Right.
What?
Yeah, because there was a wood carver that we knew, that the Marines knew, like, the embassy people knew. And I went up to him one day, and I was like, yo, I was like, I need a big fucking lion. And he's like, don't worry, boss. I need a big fucking lion for you. Right. And that thing is huge. Right. So I laid down in front of the lion, and I seen, like, the life cycle of the tree. Right, that it came from. And, like, all the things that it witnessed, right? So then I ate a date, right? And then I started swirling the seed around in my mouth, and I started to realize, like, oh shit, the DNA of this date is encoded with the ability to sprout, the ability to become a tree, the ability to make more fruit, the ability to reach down into the earth and get more water, right? So it was like, it was such a beautiful experience, right? The second time. The second time was a motherfucker, right? Because you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're still talking about shroom psilocybin?
Yeah. We're talking about psilocybin right now, right?
Okay.
So the second time. All right, so this time it's with me and my cousin Devin, right? So me and my cousin, we go and like I blend up the shrooms in a nice green shake, right? And then it's just me and him, and you know, we take it. So we go outside again, right? By the lake, and I'm expecting this beautiful experience. I told them all about it. And I walk back into my house. And I just feel like this push of negative energy just pushing me out of the house. And I'm like, what the fuck was that? So I walk back in, right? I walk back in, and it's just like, I feel like, you ever been on the Gravitron at an amusement park? And you know, like how hard it is, like that thing that spins.
Oh yeah, for sure. Down, yeah.
And then you try to lift your arm and you can't.
Yeah.
This is what I was feeling. So I look at my cousin and I'm like, yo, this thing is taking me. And my soul just goes through like a warp, right? He says I just fell asleep, right? I just go through a warp, and then I didn't know if I was dead, if I was alive. I was just like, what the fuck is going on, right? So I thought that I might have gotten in a car accident. And the first thing that I thought about is like, well, what about my family? And so it kind of like the shrooms, like it kept me there until I came to the realization that me thinking that my family needs me is just my ego just trying to be gratified.
Shut up, bro.
Right.
That's
so when
crazy.
So when I came to peace with the fact that whether I'm here or not, whether I'm here or not, they're going to be okay. That's when it kind of sent me back to my body. So, like, I had to, like, look at my license and, like, okay, this is who I am. This is the, like, it's like I had ego death, right? And it's like I'm just, like, trying to, like, reconnect, and then it'll take me again, right? And I just kept going back and forth until I just made myself throw up. Like, I couldn't take it no more, right? Because I wasn't really expecting it. Yeah, so that was my experience with psilocybin.
Okay.
The first two times.
Okay, that's crazy, bro, because I can't even count. I've had way too many experiences with psilocybin, but here's what I will say. The last experience I had was the darkest fucking experience that I've ever had, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to talk about dark vibrations, like dark to the fullest, you know what I'm saying? And I had been like rummaging in my mind. I was like, dang, I didn't set an intention before. Ooh. I took this medicine. I didn't ground myself. I hadn't mm-hmm. centered myself. What else? Oh, is that your blinds? I hadn't like set a grounded area for me. And I realized, I was like, oh, wow, like I messed up because I wasn't prepared for this experience. But it gave me about a year of unraveling the downloads. It made me realize it was a perfect experience, even though it didn't feel like that at the time, yo. Because when it happened, the reason why you reminded me of this is I remember when I was at like the worst phase of it, I was like thinking in my head, I was like, yo, like my mom, like I can't leave my mom. Like she's going to need me. And mm-hmm. I was like, bro, like I'm about to die. Like I'm low key about to fucking die. And mm-hmm. I want the people to know that I love them and that, you know, I don't want them to be scared and wonder what happened to me, but I want them to know I'm okay. How the fuck am I going to tell them I'm okay if I'm gone? And I'm like, no, that's why these spirits be haunting motherfuckers, yeah. because they don't know how to tell them that they're good. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Hey, bro, so let me just summarize with this experience is that it was intense. It took me 2 days to recover. And once I finally did, a year later, I finally had all these pieces unraveling and it was showing me, it was like, yo, this is the darkness that I wanted you to see about this experience with your ancestors, with going back to your lineage, things that your ancestors didn't get to heal. And I'm bringing this to you to heal it because you are the one. Mm-hmm. Like usually that black sheep person in the family is the one to heal these traumatizing experiences in their lineage, bro. And mm-hmm. so that's what I got to say about that particular medicine. Did you do that anymore, or did you end up moving on to a different medicine?
Oh no, I moved on because I don't know how to just sit still and just be like, but one thing I want to address though, like,
okay,
with that, right, the black sheep, like identity crisis always felt like the black sheep no matter where I went, right? I would have like homies that like I would really stick to, but to say that like I was never popular enough or cool enough to be with the cool kids, but I wasn't nerdy enough to be with the nerds. So I always felt like an outcast. Now, like, even after all of, like, the plant medicine, all the work, because, you know, I've done therapy, I've done all kinds of stuff. I went to Elliot Hulse's grounding camp. I don't even know if you know what that is.
I don't. No, what is that?
It's a thing that Elliot Hulse, he's, like, a famous YouTuber. You know, he's on Instagram, he's online. But he is dedicating to the empowerment of men, right? And at his grounding camp, like, it's really like, let's come together, let's do Osho's active meditations, but also like things that just run around the room and just like a lion and just like roar at everybody and like go confront people, but then also like go hug everybody, go meet your homies, go dance. Right. So it's like a full, I don't know what the fuck I'm trying to say, but it's like a fully integrated masculinity, like grounded camp.
For men, right?
For men. Just, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It used to be men and women, but then he just changed it just to men. Okay. So I, you know, experiencing that. And one of the reasons why I told you not to put when I asked you like to not say like healed shadow. Right. Mm-hmm. Because if you understand, like, human beings are light beings, right? And every light casts a shadow. Right. And if you study the work of Carl Jung, it's all about shadow integration. Right. Understand that you have the ability to be a monster, but now use that. Right. Integrate it into you because you can't hide it. You can try to hide that. Like, I'll be real with you right now. Right. Part of my shadow, and let's just be clear what a shadow is, right, for everybody listening.
Yeah, please. Thank you.
Your shadow is the aspect of yourself that your ego doesn't want to identify with, okay? And usually it's a result of some traumatic experience, and it comes as like a defense, right? So one of mine is like lying and manipulation.
Oh, I'm loving that truth, though. You better preach right now. Let's go.
And it, just for me to be able to tell you this, right, that's part of the integration of the shadow, for me to be able to do that, right? And part of me understanding that when I was little, you know, I had a tough mom and a tough dad, and they both used to beat the fuck out of me, right? Ooh. Especially my dad, okay? And when I was little, in my mind, I said, you know what? It's easier for me to lie my way out of things than it is to face the truth because I'm going to get my ass kicked. Not and that. Then I started like lying my way out of trouble. And 9 times out of 10, I was successful of getting away from the thing. So now this is reinforcement for me to keep fucking lying. Right? So... Now you could understand that that didn't really work out well for adult me, because all that does is it destroys relationships. And you ever heard the term like the good intent? What is it? The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
I don't think so. No.
Right. Well, that was the story of my life. The road to hell is paved with good intentions because I just let my shadow get out of control. And whenever I would feel like I was in trouble, I would just lie about it. Right? My intentions were good. I didn't want to hurt you, but fucking lied about it. You know? So
how would people find out when you were older? Like, as in your adult self, would people just, like, find out fast, or would they not know?
In a relationship, I get caught cheating.
And they would just find out naturally?
Just find out, yeah, just find out. Okay. Or, like, if I'm, yeah, like, a relationship, like, that's probably the best example right there. Like,
okay.
I cheat and I get caught. And then I try to lie my way out of that, and, like, you know, I'm a smart motherfucker, right? So it's like, that's where the manipulation comes in, where it's like, I know things that you like, so I could throw like little smoke and mirrors over here and like try to lie my way out of this. But this, and then one thing that I do, right? And it, like I said, it's shadow. It's like, I'll be like, but what about all these other good things that I've done?
Yes. You know,
I'm such a good boy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm such a good girl. I'm such a good boy. Right? You're really gonna castrate me, or like, you know, fucking punish me for this one lie that I said? But what about all the good stuff? Right? Bullshit. That's manipulation. Right? Straight up, it's manipulation. Right? So, what part of the integration is admitting that, but then also learning how to use it for good. So, one way that I use it for good is with my father, because I spent years hating that man, but I spent the greater amount of my life loving him, okay? I went from love, when he left, I hated him, and then around 22 years old, I accepted him, and then now I love my dad. But I see where he hasn't healed his own shadow, so it's kind of like passed on to me, right? The lying and the manipulation. It just so I felt what you said when you were like, it's up to you to be able, because I look at my 1-year-old son and I'm like, yo, if I don't figure this shit out, if I don't understand how to accept myself fully, if I don't understand how to just integrate my shadow and understand that these things that I don't like about myself, I don't like to reveal, right? I could use them for good, and I could teach my son something good. I could say, yo, this is where your father was, this is where your grandfather was, but look how we healed as a family. Now you could take this clean slate and do what you want with it, rather than him trying to figure the shit out on his own, you know. So so my original point was that with my dad, part of my dad's things is like, he's like, well, I could just do that shit myself, right? I don't need friends. But in reality, he has some people that he loves around him, right? But he won't ever admit it. So I use, like, manipulation to get him to see that, like, for him to value those relationships, right? Because I know my dad, he values intelligence. So if I want to get my dad to do something, all I got to do is make it sound smart. I start using psychological terms, you know? Dad, that's confirmation bias. You're using confirmation bias against, you know, I'm full of shit half the time when I'm talking to him. But my intention is to get him to see, right? So that's what I was talking about.
You know, I love what you said, yo. Your vulnerability is so powerful because, you know, when you're on social media, right?
Yep.
Like, everyone paints, and this is me included. So we're all preaching to each other type shit.
For
this
sure.
game fingers at nobody. But when you're on social media, you know, everyone paints this beautiful picture of like, yo, like, I look good. Like, let's be real. Like, we fucking get ready to look like this. We don't just wake up and be like, damn, girl, you look good. Or shit, you looking real good today. You know what I'm saying? Like, we paint pictures of our life. We paint pictures when we go on vacation or when we actually go to the zoo or wherever the fuck we go.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh my God, let me take a picture and we're going to show everyone. And people look at us and they admire us and they're just like,
you get the like.
Right. Let me get more likes. Or she's got it going on or he's got it going on. And then that's where that shadow jealousy comes in. Like, oh man, like, you know, it's not fair. Why do they have a better life than I have? And the truth is, it's like we all paint pictures of what we want people to see us as. But what if what if there was a way where we could come completely vulnerable as fuck, authentic as fuck, and be like, look, this is who I really am. This is my dark side. I like to call it dark side. This is my dark side, and this is also my light side. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of my rule of thumbs now is if I'm talking, if I'm in a relationship, before I get in the relationship, I let that guy see the darkest shadow of me. Because I do not think it is fair to have a guy be in my presence where we are going to actually spend time together and we're like going to, you know, last for a while or however long it may be. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't know what he's getting himself into. Now, mind you, before, you know, I'd paint this picture of like, oh, like I'm perfect. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like you. Da-da. And it makes me look like a fucking great female. But once they would get in a relationship with me, they'd be like, oh shit, like, you know, the chick's got some shit she's dealing with. And it's like, because I had to paint this picture of what I assumed people like, you know what I'm saying? Whereas mm-hmm. if we all show up in the world more authentic and more vulnerable, imagine what relationships would be like. Imagine you being interested in someone and being able to see who the fuck they really are and who the fuck you're really about to date. Like, look, babe, take all these fucking masks off. Let me see who the fuck you really are type mm-hmm. shit. You know what I'm saying?
It's interesting because that would make society beautiful. But in order for society to be beautiful, we all have to get ugly. Right. And one thing about it is that I feel like this quarantine has afforded us is the ability for us to feel okay to be ugly. Like, look at me. I haven't had a haircut since March 14th. And I look ugly. And
you do. I'm pretty sure there's people on here that's like, bro, that beard is on point. What's good?
Thank you. But they just feel like it's growing like up to my eyeballs right now, right? But people ask me like, well, why don't you cut your own hair? And I'm like, no. Like, I'm like embracing it. Like, it feels good for me to not feel any way about my hair looking like this, my beard looking like that, right? I'm a program director for a youth program. So, like, I'm so thankful that I can still work from home and still get paid, right? But on Zoom calls, I just... like this. And they're like, are you going to cut? No. You're not going to require me to either. I'll leave this bitch so fast. Right?
Right.
I'm embracing my ugly, right?
Yeah. So, dude, like, before we move on to the next thing, let me just add this this little piece is that before I post something, I ask myself, I'm like, am I posting this so that people can look at me and be like, damn, she's fine? Or am I posting, like, I find out the intention behind why I'm posting shit, mm-hmm. you know? Because I feel like that helps a lot for you to unveil your shadow, really? To find out why, or am I posting this so I can get likes? Am I posting this because I'm lonely as fuck right now? Am I posting this because I just broke up with someone and I want to know I'm attractive again? It's really good to identify the shadow versions of yourself to know why you're doing the fucking shit that you're doing every yes. single day. And not just with Instagram, you know what I'm saying? With mm-hmm. just shit in life in general. You know yeah. what I mean?
Like, what are you hiding from? You know, right. what haven't you have confronted? Which is why the plant medicines are amazing, because they don't allow you to hide from your like your ego can't hide in that space, right? It's just like, no, you're in my world, right? Mother Ayahuasca really like showed me that, like,
go there.
This is my world, right? So, so I in 2015, right? I sold, like, I had just finished my bachelor's in social work, right? Because I wanted to save the world. I wanted to empower veterans. I wanted to be able to turn the narrative from post-traumatic stress disorder to post-traumatic growth, right? That was, like, my mission. But I was like, I knew that in order to do that, I had to do my own healing. So, I started seeing, like, ayahuasca documentaries. I started seeing, like, posts about it. So I'm like, you know what? I sold everything, right? Everything. I sold everything. My house, because I bought a house when I came out the Marine Corps, right? In 2008, I bought a house. I sold it, and I sold everything that I owned, and I'm like, I'm out. And I went to Peru. I had an Airbnb for 30 days, and I had a three-day ayahuasca ceremony. And outside of that, I had no plan. All right. So I show up to Cusco, Peru, and the first day I was there, I was like, oh shit, the retreat doesn't start until tomorrow, and I have nowhere to stay tonight. So I went on the couch surfing app. Now, my Airbnb was in like the city of Cusco. The people in couch surfing were in it was in like the outskirts on the way to Machu Picchu. I forgot the name of the actual town, but this place was so beautiful. The house looked like a freaking mansion, right? But like a small one, like a small mansion. But it was like surrounded by beautiful green mountains. There was a river coming off of the mountain, so like always sounded like it was raining. And I met five, and it had a beautiful garden. And I met five of the coolest people like I've ever met in my life, like some of the coolest people I've ever met in my life. And nobody had a plan. Everybody was just traveling.
Dang, right? Okay.
So I met them. I went to my ayahuasca ceremony, and then I ended up staying with them for the 30 days. And I just left my Airbnb. I didn't even care about it because I was just with them the whole 30 days. So I show up to the ayahuasca retreat center, right? So I spent the night with them, and then I go to the ayahuasca retreat. So when I first got there was a shaman, right? He's spraying you with essential oils and flowers and stuff. And it was a shaman from the mountains, because that's the beautiful thing about Cusco is like you get two shamans. You get one from the mountains and you get the one from the Amazon. So I was boom, we get with the mountain shaman. He does all that. And then we got with the one from the Amazon. So then he starts blowing the tobacco smoke and he starts hitting you with the essential oils or whatever. And he's like, meditate for 30 minutes. So, you know, I'm meditating. Then gives you the ayahuasca. And I take it.
Wait, right off the rip?
Yeah.
After 30 minutes?
Yeah. After you.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So remember, like, you spent the whole day with the mountain shaman, and he's doing all kinds of rituals with you.
Oh, got you. Okay. Okay.
Right? And then at nighttime is when the jungle shaman, he comes, and he's like, all right, like, it's go time. All right, so then he starts, you know, blowing the tobacco smoke. Mm-hmm. Blowing the tobacco smoke and you know, essential oils or whatever. And then, okay, so I took the ayahuasca, right, after 30 minutes of meditating. And then he says, meditate for 30 more minutes. So I meditate for 30 more minutes. And then like, I open my eyes and like, he just goes like this. And then he starts singing Icaros, right? So for those who don't know Icaros are beautiful songs that shamans sing that guide you on your ayahuasca journey. And the shaman takes the ayahuasca with you. So he starts singing, and I swear my soul went like this. Boom! Right, and I end up in a. It looked like I was in ancient Egypt. So I'm looking at like Osiris and like golden pyramids and like streets of gold. And this was like the highest vibrating place I've ever been. Like, it just felt so good in there. And I was like, oh man, this feels great. I was like, Mother Ayahuasca, like, what's my next step in life? So then this little old lady pops up and she looks back at me. She's like, this is your world. Create it. And she disappears. So I start like making all these sacred geometrical structures and erecting pyramids and doing all this. Now, it was like I was like hungry for that power. So I just start going crazy with it. Then I'm like, you know what? I want divine creativity. So these like little fairies come and they open up my hand. They put stuff in there. They leave. Then I was like, I want divine intelligence. And then they open up my head, and like the little fairies come back, they put it in my head, they close it up, they bounce. Then I asked for strength. When I asked for strength, I started to become a giant. And then I was like, oh, fuck. I'm like, this is my ego inflating. So then I was like, all right, Mother Ayahuasca, I didn't come here for this. Like, this is not why I'm here. And then I was like, I came here for enlightenment. So then little old lady pops up. She looks back at me. She says, if you wish for me to open your third eye, you have to give me your right eye. It just bounces.
Oh, what?
So now I'm like, fuck. I'm like, can I rock the patch? Like, you know what I mean? How am I going to look like this? And I was like, damn, like, could I live with one eye? So now I'm thinking that. But then in the midst of that, like, you know when you start meditating and it's like your mind just goes off and then, like, you try to bring it back. And it goes off and you try to bring it back, right? This was my reality. Like, it just – this is what happened. Like, I started creating shit, and I'm like, no. Like, I got to focus. And then I start creating things, going crazy. I'm like, no. Finally, I just sat down, like, in defiance. I was like, this is not why I'm here. And then she pops back up, and she looks at me. She's like, how do you expect us to teach you anything when you're trying to control everything? Either you master meditation, or you give me your right eye.
Oh,
she just disappears.
Again?
Yeah. Right? Oh, my boy Jay, that's my dog. Yeah, dog, we got to go to Peru. So she was like, oh, so now I start coming down off of it, right? And I'm just like, oh, and in the midst of all of this, I threw up like 4 different times into a bucket. And
question, when you had to throw up, did it just come out naturally, or did you feel pain in your stomach and you had to wait for it to stir up to come out?
So what the shaman said is that if you feel it, and like sometimes you purge on your own. Well, the thing about ayahuasca is that it, you can't digest it, so it latches onto all the impurities in your body, and they'll encourage you to drink water because then you'll immediately throw it up. Right. So some shamans encourage you to just hold it down as much as you can, but you get a real bad stomach ache. Others say just purge it. Depends on, you know, which shaman that you do it with. But I drank some water and then I just was like, blah. But there was a point where I purged so much that I went and nothing but black, like darkness just came out. Right. This is what I was seeing. Like, it's just blackness. Like, it wasn't like a liquid, but it was like dark ass energy that just came out. So that was in the midst of all that, right? Like somehow in there. And then, like, I had to go to the bathroom, right? Because it's going to come out one end or the other, right?
Real shit.
Right? Real shit, literally, right? So like, after I threw up, like, I stumbled to the bathroom. I did the cardinal mistake in all psychedelic trips is looking in the mirror. I did, and, like, I seen, like, all these snakes in my face. I was like, oh, shit. So that happened in like the middle of the journey. But then I go back and I lay back down and I'm right back. So, you know, so going back to the story, right, I start coming down. And one thing that happened is, like, I end up in space, right? I'm just in like space. And then I don't know why it was my last ex, right? The third one that broke my heart, I got my heart broken. There was TVs, right? I seen her. There was TVs all, like, I could just look in front of me. There's TVs everywhere. And it was all the moments of her life. So if I look up, she's older. If I look down, she's younger. If I look to the side, like, I see moments of us. I see, like, her mm-hmm. entire life. So it was like a representation, kind of like on that movie Interstellar, where it's like time yes. is relative and, you know, it's all going on at once. So that was like a representation of that. Like, that was like the last little gift that mother ayahuasca gave me, right? So
do you think that she was showing, because I don't want to put this on you, I'm asking, do you think that she was showing you her life so that she could show you what she went through, and that's why she treated you the way she did?
You see, the reason why the shamans call her mother is because she's like any good mother. Like, she just gives you what she believes that you, well, she just gives you what you need in that moment. So I went there looking for a nightmare. I wanted to fucking fight dragons. I wanted to go through hell. But I guess like at that point in my life, like, that wasn't what was supposed to happen. She just wanted me to learn that I need to stop trying to control everything. I need to master some meditation, right? And stop trying to, you know, and see things like the whole, oh, so before I even get to that. So this was the craziest part, because naturally I'm a skeptic. All right. I'm like, all right, that was a cool experience, but I don't know, right?
I don't know.
So the next day, right? Craziness. Those five people I talked about, right? Two of the girls, the girl from Brazil and the girl from Ireland, I show up back to the house and they're like, hey, Drew, like, we're going to this Peruvian thing that's kind of like a Peruvian barbecue, right? They put like a bunch of banana leaves, they bury something, and they cook it like that. And then, and it was going to be in Ollantaytambo, which is like, it's one of the ancient Inca sites, right? The town is like in one of the ancient Incas. So I go there, and it's like a 2.5 hour bus ride away. Okay. And I see an ayahuasquero there. Now, ayahuasqueros are like, they're shamans in their own right, but they don't come from a lineage, right? They don't come from a teacher, right? They take you through ayahuasca experiences, but they don't necessarily, they've never been like really trained on it, right? And I look at this dude's shirt and I see this. Can you see it? Like, it's kind of.
Can you kind of guide me, maybe?
Oh, yeah, my bad. So, it's a, I know it's hard to see because I haven't shaved, and it's like, it's, where is it? I can't see it. It's on my Instagram, I think. But what it is. Oh, there you go.
Was that me? Or was that me?
I don't, yeah, you were frozen.
Dang, dude, that's the first time that's happened. I was like, no, my Wi-Fi is supposed to be good.
No, it's all good. All right, okay. So we're back. Right, so this is what I saw on his shirt, right? So if you could see, it's a jaguar with his third eye open and his right eye closed.
Yeah, dude, I can see it now.
Right. So now, this is 2.5 hours away of somewhere that I never planned to go. And the very next day, so I go to him and I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, what is that? Because I just did an ayahuasca ceremony yesterday. Mother Ayahuasca told me she was going to take my right eye. I need to open up my third eye. And I was like, you got that picture on your shirt? And he laughs at me. He's like, dude, he's like, you have to understand that, like, religious texts, and things of that nature, like, all of them say that this world is an illusion. So to see things with your eye, right, your eyes, but to see things with your eyes, to feel them, you know. So I was like, oh. And then I did something interesting. I went on a hike the next day, and, like, I closed my right eye. And, you know, usually, like, when you're on a hike on a, like you got to, like, watch out for rocks and, like, very careful. But I just closed my right eye and I just started walking, and, like, I didn't trip over a single rock. So, I mean, call it coincidence, but I was like, whatever. But that was crazy. Like, seeing that picture on his shirt, there was no coincidence. Like, Mother Ayahuasca was like, you little skeptical ass. All right, here you go.
Hey, dude, okay, so bring me to the second and third experience.
What, with Ayahuasca?
Because you said you had three nights.
No, no, it was a three day experience. So, oh, like, yeah, so I just told you about, like, because okay. I only did it. I did it twice, but the first time I didn't have any effects. But the third, the first time that was the second experience. The first time I didn't have any effects because, I'll never tell this part. The first time I did it, my stomach started hurting really bad, but it was really cold, right? And I didn't want to get up and purge. So I just sat there and I suffered and nothing happened. Yeah.
Were you just scared to get up?
It was so cold. And you're in like a sleeping bag and I'm like, But there's one thing that I learned that really stuck with me in Iraq. And it's called, there was these signs outside of every base going in and out that said complacency kills, right? And, you know, you get too comfortable, it'll kill you. But it doesn't only apply to war zones. It applies to your life, period. So what I got from that first experience was, like, complacency kills, right? I got all comfortable in the sleeping bag. But because I didn't want to get up and purge, I didn't get an experience.
Dude.
So the lesson in and of itself was stop being so fucking comfortable.
Dude.
Yeah.
Okay. So I love your stories. I'm not going to be able to say all my stories because there's too many. Yeah. But what I will say is there was this one experience I had in particular with Mother Ayahuasca where I was with an incredible shaman. I always had shamans every time I did it.
Where were you?
No disclosure.
Oh.
Can't say. But there was this one experience I had, bro, where so I, you know, take the medicine and then I lay back down. And my intention for that ceremony was to connect with my higher self. And it was just a simple intention. I was just like, oh, you know, mother, I want to connect with my higher self. That's it. Dude, little did I know that she was like, literally like, oh, girl, you got to connect with your higher self today. It's going down. Right, Nikita? And so I freaking, and just laying there, and all of a sudden the shaman, he comes up to me to sing and he does the ikaros. And then I'm like, so I get up and I purge. And as soon as I'm done purging, bro, I literally feel my body change. Like, cause I'm small, like I have a small frame. All of a sudden, dude, I got so fucking big. It was just like, psh. And like, I was like probably 20 feet tall. I'm talking about the chick was tall. Dude, I literally was having a hard time in my body. It felt like I felt like I was in the movie Avatar. Mm-hmm. Like, I was sitting there and I literally had to tame myself to not go run up the mountain that I was by. Like, I just wanted to book it. I felt like I had superpowers. I was like, bro, I can just dip right now. Like, I'm going type shit. And I was like, yo, okay, first off, you need to just calm down. Let's just breathe. And you know what it taught me? The biggest lesson that I would say to people that it taught me out of every ceremony I've had is the power lies in your breath. Every single time I was scared, I was frightened, I didn't know what to do, it always took me back to my breath. And it was just like, just breathe. If you're in a situation, this is an outside thing that I want to say to someone. If you're in a situation where you're stressed, you don't know how to get out of some shit, you're depressed, you can literally breathe your way out of uncomfortability. Every single time I was in a ceremony and I felt so uncomfortable because I've had so many uncomfortable experiences, my breath always led me back to my center. It grounded me and it was just like, no, you're going to be okay. And I'm taking you through these experiences so you can rise out of them. And I want to show you what you need to heal. So that was a fun experience. There was this one experience I had that was with ayahuasca. I have had the pleasure of experiencing Bufo, which is 5-MeO-DMT. Mm-hmm. And that is the God molecule. So for anyone that doesn't know, ayahuasca is a spirit molecule. 5-MeO-DMT is the God molecule. And in my personal perspective, I feel like ayahuasca, she helps to show you things that you don't realize that she wants you to help heal in your life and in your ancestry line. With the God molecule, it's almost like you go back to the beginning. Like, you literally, the minute, from the minute you inhale the smoke of the God molecule, the 5-MeO, you literally go back to source itself and you remember who you are. Like, you remember that you are an orgasmic being that is so fucking powerful. Like, you just don't even understand. And it's powerful because it's like, you know, ayahuasca for me was more healing in the sense of you need to heal this. The God molecule was more like, remember who the fuck you are type shit. Like, you don't need to heal shit because you already are healed. If you come from a space of I need to heal because I'm broken, this aspect is like, it didn't say this, but I'm just going to say this. Like, bitch, you're not fucking broken. You're not broken. Why are you trying to fix and heal some shit if you're already a perfection, a perfected being? There's nothing to heal if you're already perfection. But we think there's things to heal because we're like, we're damaged. We've been through shit and we need to
fix me.
Right. And it's like, from that standpoint, it's like, no, you are God. You don't need to heal anything because you literally come from God itself. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And so what I would say to anyone from my perspective is, if you feel like you want to experience plant medicine, a lot of people are always like, oh, give me the 401, man. Where'd you go? You're just, it's going to come to you. Like, it's going to seek you out and it's going to come to you. And I feel like it's been such a pivotal point on my journey. What about you, dude? Can you see yourself having not have ever done that? Like, do you feel like it really changed your life?
Yeah, like it gives you a different perspective, right? Even when I smoke bud now, like, I always get this like feeling of you're not that serious, right? You take yourself too seriously, right? Because, you know, it's a practice. That's why it's called like a spiritual practice, because, you know, you start getting, especially now where you have a lot of time to yourself, a lot of time to think, you're quarantined, you can't really be around people, right? It's easy to slip into that darkness, right? And start taking yourself too seriously. It's like, motherfucker, you need a haircut. I'm like, no, I don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude.
So what the plant medicines have taught me is this, like, you're not that serious. You know, like, my experience with, I never did the Bufo, right? I never did 5-MeO, but I did the other form of DMT. And I did
it. Loco?
Huh?
Which one?
Not the one from the Bufo. The other
one. Is it Loco?
I don't know.
The snuff? The DMT snuff?
No, not the snuff. It was still smoke, but it wasn't.
Oh, Crumlo. Combo?
I don't know which one it was.
Okay.
I just know it wasn't the one from the frog. Because one thing I forgot to mention is the guy who rented the house, right?
Fuck, we only have 25 seconds left.
Oh, seriously?
How did this happen so fast? What?
Oh, shit.
Dude, you're the shit. We're going to have to do this again.
I am, because we are.
Hey, tell them where they could find you at. What's your handle name?
Drew_Phoenix. Follow me. Let's talk. Okay.
Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. We're going to have a part two soon. Peace.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking your time to tune in this week. We look forward to seeing you next week.